Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So the news of note in the NFL that came out late last night, there was a column done by one Peter King talking about the likelihood of a 17-game schedule in the NFL, and it looks more and more like it's going to happen. They discussed several aspects of this, one of which was how Monday Night Football is going to get the wild card game. Now, you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, okay, that's great. Wild card game on a Monday night, that'll be a lot of fun. All right, because remember we had the extra wild card game. I thought that the triple header on Saturday and Sunday was awesome. It was awesome. And that's part of the reason why I like the expansion of the wild card format was for that alone. Just being able to do that in the NFL, I thought was a lot of fun. And if it meant that you were going to cut back on one bye week, which I wasn't crazy about. I felt like you could have rewarded the top two teams. I felt like this year was really the year you could have rewarded the top two teams. But if it meant we were going to get a triple header on a Saturday or a Sunday in the wild card games, I was all in on it because I just thought it would be a lot of fun, and it's exactly what it turned into. So the idea is what they're going to do is take, and this is being discussed, they're going to take the NFL wild card game, one of the wild card games, and they're going to put it on a Monday night. All right, so that's going to be how it's done. So you can look at that and go, awesome. Playoff game in primetime on a Monday. Or you can look at it and go, yeah, well, that just means that team's going to have a short week the next week. All right. Teams have short weeks in the playoffs before. I mean, like, this does happen from time to time to where a team will play on a Sunday and they'll come back and play on a Saturday. I mean, I think it happened this past playoffs. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Baltimore played Tennessee on a Sunday. You know, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories for Clay. I'm not trying to do that. I'm being very respectful. I'm just simply talking about the game. I'm not trying to – nothing to do with the Titans, all right? I'm just simply stating that game was being played, all right? So everybody that's don't tell Clay I'm making a mockery of the Titans. I'm just simply stating a fact here. Baltimore played at Tennessee on a Sunday and then came back on a Saturday and played at Buffalo. Short week. So – there's really no reason why you couldn't make a wild card game on a Monday. There's no reason why this couldn't happen. And it would be a bonanza when it comes to just the ratings and the exposure you would give them. And the reason why it's a possibility this year is because the college football national championship, I believe, is not on that date in which it would become available. And I don't want to give out all the dates of that because you're just going to get confused. All right, so this is way into the future, but it could be a permanent thing moving forward because if this 17th game does happen, it's going to impact the playoffs. I think it's going to, as I said last hour here on the show, I think it's going to impact coaches because all of a sudden 8-8 coaches are going to be 8-9 and they're going to be sub 500. And I do think that the presentation of the NFL that we saw this past season, it could be something that sticks around for a while, most notably not just the wild card games on Monday Night Football, but the idea of having dual Monday night games or two back-to-back Monday Night Football games at other times during the season. We get it during week one. We always get week one of the NFL, we get a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. We always do. I just liked the idea of it being thrown in a few times this past year. Now, I don't think that we're going to get to the point to where we're doing Tuesday games and Wednesday games. Maybe we do. I like the Thursday night games. But instead of, you know, trying to spread it out into different days throughout the week, if you wanted to go a doubleheader every single Monday night, I'm good, man. I'm 100% on board with it. I think it benefits the exposure for the league, and I also think it benefits the exposure for some of those players and teams that are buried during the early time slot on a Sunday. All of a sudden, you start spreading these games out and put on dual Monday night games. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, how they get to this 17th game, this is where it's confusing. This is where it gets bizarre. what they've done is, if they do, and like, again, it looks very likely it's going to happen. If they do have a 17th game in the NFL, the recipe for how they do this is just, I don't know why it takes this much work. But what they've decided to do is to take who your 2020, because it's going to be AFC, NFC, who your 2020 opposite conference matchup was, and where they placed in the division from the 2019 season. Example, Kansas City and Green Bay both finished first this past year. They played each other in 2019 because the AFC North or the NFC North played the AFC West. Thus, they would play each other again this year. Are you confused? So am I. Why does it have to be like this? Why do we have to use this formula to try and get these games? How about this? You want to add a 17th week and you want to add a 17th game in the NFL? Stop confusing everybody. How about you just say, all right, why don't we vote on it? Leave it up to the fans. If you want it to be interactive, you've got enough time to make this work, vote on it. This isn't like flex scheduling. This isn't like all of a sudden one team turns out to be much better than the other team than a lot of people expected, and they're playing one team later in the year, and now you just flex them out and you try and figure it out. No. You've got plenty of time. Vote on this. Let the fans have a say. Throw it up on social media. Let fans get behind this. Wouldn't you like the opportunity if somebody said to you, hey, you're a Packers fan. You've got to vote on one of these four teams that you're going to be playing in the AFC West next year. Who are you voting on? Now, the Chiefs probably win, but maybe Packer fans are like, well, what if we get by? Like, I think there's a way that the NFL can do this that can make it easier. Sometimes they get in their own way by trying, and they add in all these different elements, and, well, we're bringing the 2019 schedule and how these divisions are going to, and it just feels like there's a simpler way to do it. Call me crazy, but I feel like the NFL could make this a little bit better for everybody involved if they make it a little easier to understand as to how they get to this. All right, be more transparent, give people an opportunity to have an impact in it, and I think the NFL would have a lot of fun with this, and I think people would have a lot of fun in regards to how this thing gets done. But if we're talking Monday Night Football in a wild card spot, I like it. If it means more Monday Night Football games, I like that too. I think some of what we saw this past season in the NFL is here to stay. I think a lot of leagues stumbled upon things that they did and looked at and said, hey, man, this actually makes a lot of sense. Like, now that we think about it and now that we're here, this makes a lot of sense to us. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis, Fox Sports Radio. Here's the other story that is out there. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, he had an article that came out detailing just sort of what's going on with Russell Wilson and company in Seattle. And the idea, to sum it up for you, the article states, there's a feeling there that maybe Russell Wilson has sort of veered off into my legacy, my legacy, my legacy. And it might be wearing some people out. That they ideally would like for it to work in Seattle with Russell Wilson, that they've, you know, he had say on the offensive coordinator, whether they implement a different game plan, what they're going to do at the offensive line, how they get there. They would like for it to work, but there was one rival executive who was quoted as saying, when asked whether or not he thought Russell Wilson was going to be traded, it depends on how fed up John is, and that being John Schneider, the GM. So the fact that we're even at this point, that there's a conversation about whether or not you're fed up, means that you've been fed up for a while, you're just now ready to act on it. And it goes back to something that a lot of those players on defense who were there before pointed out to us back in the day. Richard Sherman, all those big, loud talkers on defense pointed out to everybody back in the day that Russell Wilson was treated differently. That there was sort of a resentment that built up there because Pete Carroll pulled those guys aside in practice and said, hey man, lighten up a little bit on Russ. In a place that had the most competitive locker room in the NFL, a place that was built on defense, those guys flying around with the freedom to say what they wanted to say and talk and be as loud as they wanted to talk. And it was Pete Carroll who said, hey man, you know, let's go ahead and leave him alone. And those guys resented it because they looked at it and said, we're all coached a certain way. we're all treated this certain way. Why is he being treated any different? How does that happen? And so there was a little bit of that that was going on there. And there was a Seth Wickersham article that came out, you know, a few years back that detailed a lot of that. And so you've seen sort of this turn towards, we're giving Russ the keys to the car. Let's go ahead and let's throw all our support behind him. And I think part of the frustration maybe with John Snyder and Pete Carroll and some of those guys is that when this stuff comes out this offseason, they're looking around going, hey, man, we had your back this whole time. This whole time we've had your back. Like you're the guy we went with. We had paid Matt Flynn. We paid our quarterback. We gave him big-time money. We chose you. We had a lot of guys on defense, loud voices, guys who shared their opinion, called people out, held people accountable. We chose you. Goal line of the Super Bowl. We chose you. And I just wonder if there's resentment from the Seahawks front office because they look back and go, man, does this guy forget that we've had his back the entire way through? And now we find ourselves in this uncomfortable situation where I did not think I would say this 2 weeks ago. If you asked me, more likely to get traded, Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson right now, I think it's Russell Wilson. And here's why. Because I think the organization in Seattle is more willing to trade their quarterback than Houston is. Because the Houston front office hasn't said a damn thing. You've heard nothing. They're not even taking calls. Nothing about Deshaun Watson. It's all Deshaun Watson's side. It's all them doing the talking. This is Seattle's front office with this article that came out last week saying, hey, man, we're not taking the crap. And then you've got more from Albert Breer saying, you know, maybe they're, you know, people are just might kind of be fed up with all this, kind of be fed up with the celebrity that he's turned into. Just how, you know, it's all about me and my legacy. Like, I think it's more likely Russell Wilson gets traded than Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't think either is going to happen ultimately, but I do think it's more likely because this has taken a nasty turn. And look, when you start bringing in family as part of your complaint, you start going down a road of there's no return. When another report comes out that says that Russell Wilson feels like Pete Carroll and Pete Carroll's sons don't answer to anybody in Seattle, we've now gone down the road that you don't go back from. Like you've now gone down that part of, you know, the alleyway where it's like, all right, you can't, it's too narrow to turn the car back around. You just got to go. That's where we're at now. So it continues, again, another article to start your day and another story about what's going on there. It continues to get weirder and weirder and more uncomfortable. And if you ask me right now, more likely to be traded, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? 2 weeks ago, I would have said Deshaun Watson. Right now, I think it's Russell Wilson. Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis here, Fox Sports Radio from the Farmers Outkick Studios. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. All right, coming up next, we are going to ask our NFL insider the likelihood of a Russell Wilson trade and which team pulls the trigger. That's next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All sorts of NFL. We will continue the NFL conversation now through the end of the hour here on Fox Sports Radio. But right now, we welcome in a guy I have the pleasure of talking to every single weekend here on FSR. He is Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio's NFL insider, Sirius XM NFL Radio as well. And he is joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Cap, what's happening?
Good to talk to you, my friend. Good to see you're up nice and early.
Yeah, listen, you and I doing a weekday hit together. We're hitting the big time here, Adam.
I know. Our worlds are colliding. Yes, during the week on a Monday morning. Love it.
Listen, we're too cool for Saturdays now. We'll just rub it in Bucky Brooks' yeah. face when we talk to him next. Right. All right, so it feels like – now, there was another article that came out from Albert Breer in regards to a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes with the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll stuff. Then there was this little tidbit that came out and started making the rounds over the weekend Russell Wilson was unhappy that Pete Carroll and his sons don't have to answer to anybody. And I don't know about you, Adam, but it feels like every report that comes out, it just gets a little bit more awkward and a little bit more awkward. What are you reading and what have you heard from people about where we stand with this relationship between the
two? Yeah. So let me sum it up this way. As long as Pete Carroll's the head coach, the offense is going to go through the run game. That's not going to change. Russell Wilson wants to go more to the toward the pass game. They're not going to be able to meet in the middle. That's not going to change. So when you see stuff come out, some of this is very minor. That doesn't matter. What matters is the philosophy difference of opinion. That's not going to change. They'll never meet in the middle. It's just not going to happen. So we could continue to talk about this for a week or a month or 2 years. In the end, they're not going to be able to agree on the direction of the offense. And that's why I think in the end, as long as over the next 3 to 4 years, as long as Pete's there, Russell's not going to be happy. And this will wind up being – this is going to end in a trade. Again, whether it's 2 months from now or 2 years from now, as long as Pete's here, it's just not going to change. And I don't see this ending well for both of those guys because of that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And just the more that I've seen, I just get this weird feeling that this could be wrapping up here. Like I know he had the four teams that he listed.
Yeah.
I mean, which makes sense to you? I look at the Raiders as having the most to offer because of Derek Carr and whatever the trade compensation will be. But what would a trade for Russell Wilson look like if one of those four teams wanted to make the move?
Yeah, and obviously you'd like to have a veteran quarterback to come back and multiple first-round picks. There's no question about it. Then, you know, if you're the Raiders, you have to decide, though, how you're going to build around him. You know, the Raiders have a They're okay at wide receiver. They're not bad. They're going to be very young there, as I understand it. The problem with the Raiders, though, is defense. And if you're going to give up significant draft compensation, it's going to be hard to rebuild that defense. Their defense was terrible. The talent level on that side is bad. Gruden and Mike Mayock have done a good job of building the offense. Just that the defense has got a lack of talent. And, you know, if you're giving up significant draft capital, it's hard. Remember, they traded away Khalil Mack in 2018. So that would have to be rebuilt. And then, you know, the Bears, by the way, the Bears are the team, though. They were in on Matthew Stafford, no question about it. They were not, I'm told, on Carson Wentz. But they're looking for a quarterback. And then, obviously, you have the Dak situation with the Cowboys. Dak's not going anywhere. That one's just – I just don't see how that could happen. But – The rumors are going to continue through the next few months. I don't see them stopping. Even if it comes out that they've told people they're not going to trade him this year, it's not going to change, Jonas, because the offensive philosophy is not going to change as long as Pete Carroll's the head coach.
Do you think that there's Adam Kaplan joining us here on Fox Sports Radio? Do you think, and I don't know the guy, but from people you talk to, has Russell Wilson's celebrity reached a point to where it's now, you know, more about Russ, legacy, what I've got going on, me, what's going to happen? Not that that's a bad thing. He's thinking about himself, but I just wonder if maybe part of that is rubbing the Seahawks the wrong way and ultimately might end up rubbing teammates the wrong way.
Well, you know, also we should mention that Pete Carroll is personnel control, so it ultimately will be his decision whether they wind up trading Russell Wilson. But when you look at Russell Wilson, it's not a secret. You heard him on the Dan Patrick Show. When Dan kept asking him, he finally gave in and said, "Yeah, I would like to have input." Well, that's certainly part of this issue. You see, a guy like Tom Brady clearly has input with personnel. It's not his decision, but he suggested some players he'd like to see come play with him in Tampa, and that happened. I think Russell would like to have that sort of input. The input he has on the offense is not what he wants, by the way. That's the other part of this. And yeah, his legacy. He wants multiple Super Bowls. When he looks at the other quarterbacks, no one's going to touch Brady. He's sort of an outlier. But he'd like to be up there with the Peyton Mannings of the world. Manning obviously has got his two Super Bowls, one with the Colts and one with the Broncos, and all the great quarterbacks in National Football League. I think there's some truth to that. But the big one will never change. It's the number one reason why he's frustrated is the direction of the offense. Trust me on that. You remember my report with you guys before the season started about how they're going to let Russ cook. I mean, it turned out to be correct. And then I don't know what happened in the second half of the season. They came very conservative for whatever reason. They were not passing as much in the first half of the games, and I know that frustrated Wilson.
Oh, and let's be honest, he didn't play great towards the end.
He didn't. He was out of rhythm. Yeah, that's true. But they were not as aggressive. They were throwing the ball over 6% less compared to the first half and the second half in the first half of games. For whatever reason, Pete brought back the reins. And here's the other thing. Their defense was awful. Let's call it like it is. Their defense was poor. So when that happens, you should want to score more points and be aggressive, and that's not what people is like or not.
Last point on the Russell Wilson stuff before we move on to some other things. Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider, Sirius XM NFL Radio, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. You mentioned the second Super Bowl. The interception he threw from the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. I think it might be the worst turnover in Super Bowl history. And what's crazy about it is he gets no criticism for it. It's Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel who decided to throw the ball, not Russell Wilson. It's just bizarre how that – and I just wonder if he's been really – I don't want to say protected, but maybe there was something to those guys on defense who felt like he was getting preferential treatment all those years, and maybe that's why this has turned out the way that it's turned out.
I would definitely say over the years that there are some people who – some observers of the team that feel like Wilson has been – had the criticism, just not that game in particular, but just overall when he has not played well, that he's been protected. Now, you mentioned, by the way, you're good at mentioning it, the second half of the season, let's also say that Wilson did not play well. He had a bad stretch of turnovers, and that bothered Pete, by the way. That he didn't really hide it in his press conferences. Now, we could say there are a variety of reasons, but he was pressing, and as I was told, that teams are playing more cover two to take away the deep ball. If you remember the first half, the deep ball between Metcalf and Wilson.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
And also Tyler Lockett. It was awesome. And then teams are taking it away. And remember, Russell does not like checking the ball down. He's not a check down quarterback. That's why the tight ends don't get the ball very much. He just doesn't check it down. And that's something that, the buy-in. And look, Carson Wentz went through this with Philly this season in particular. Not willing to check the ball down, looking for the big play. And, you got to take the easy pass sometimes. And That's a part of Russell Wilson's game that he's got to take responsibility for.
Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay. This is Outkick the Coverage. Any news on the Deshaun Watson front? Are we anywhere closer, or is Nick Caserio still sending a call straight to voicemail?
No, that was funny, but no. But what I had heard last week was one team that has talked to them three or four times since the season ended. Since Nick Caserio became the GM of the Texans. So if you ask about Deshaun Watson, he does one of two things. He either says, we're not going there, or this is my favorite. He acts like you didn't say it, and he changes the subject. So he won't even acknowledge the name. Look, but I will continue to say, there's no urgency in March. There's going to be some urgency close with a week or two of the draft. If he starts listening, this thing's getting done. Okay, this thing's getting done. That's just the way it is. Because the thing is, if you – and I understand there's no way you could equate getting enough – 4 first-round picks does not make up the fact for this guy's a superstar. I get that part of it. But what I'm saying is if they entertain offers, it's a minimum of 3 first-round picks, could be more, and you got to get a starter out or two out of it. This guy's an absolute superstar, high-character guy. I understand that some Texas fans aren't happy that he wants out, but – there's a reason for it. The culture was horrendous last season, and some of the people, one guy in particular who some people point as part of that culture, is still there.
What's going on with Drew Brees? Adam, I thought
that's
we were
a confusing
done with
one. Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So didn't they move money
and
reduce his salary down?
Yep.
So wasn't that an indicator?
What
does that mean towards Drew Brees' future?
Look, what I would tell you is this. Sometimes we read into a video and go, oh my gosh, that means he's coming back. That's what means he wants to play. Within the next week or so, we're going to know for sure. RJ Glazer reported at the Super Bowl. No one downplayed it. I mean, Jay put out that Drew was going to retire. And you just talked about he took his salary, Drew did, and got it down to the veteran minimum, which helps him get down. Now, when you look at it, it's not a secret that they really, really like Jameis Winston. That's absolutely the truth. And they also have Taysom Hill there. So in the end, it seems logical that Drew's not coming back based on also the contract based on what they do with his contract. I mean, you're given a minuscule chance, but I find it funny that people are going overboard. We go overboard in anything. I'm not ruling it out, folks. I get it. It's fair to bring it up, but we seem to go overboard in anything that's out there on social media. It could be anything.
Damn right. It's what we do, Adam.
It's what we do.
Tis the season. It's draft season. Before we let you go, Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio NFL Insider. I saw Peter King had thrown out late last night, there was, you know, the possibility of a 17-game season. And, yes. You know, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. One of Correct. The interesting elements to that is the talk of maybe putting a wild card game on Monday night. And I've been thinking about this just in watching what we saw this past season in the NFL. I think some things are going to be here to stay just in every walk of life. Moving forward, it's never going to go back to how it was. I would be totally open to the idea of more Monday night games, meaning if it's two in, on a Monday night throughout the course of the season, more times than just the opening weekend, I'd be up for it. And I like the idea of a wild card game on a Monday night. How realistic is that of a possibility?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, Saturday, you'd rather not have a game on Saturday, but we've had this forever, right. The wild card games on Saturday and Sunday. I wouldn't rule this out because it's something different. And also they could just do a one-year test. They could see what the ratings are like.
Yeah.
Because you definitely, the way it works with television, you do not want to compete against anything. That's just the way it is. Whether it's the elections, whether it's the Final Four or whatever, you don't want to compete against anything. So timeliness of it, doing it on Monday night, now they have to make sure that they're not competing against anything in the playoffs. So, yeah, look, the 17th game is going to happen. We know that's happening. That there's no question. Look, we have the extra wild card. I didn't hear. By the way, I didn't see any complaints with it. I was
Hell
not exactly.
No. It was awesome.
No, yeah, it was. It was more football. We love football. That's why. Now nobody seemed to like the Tuesday games because of the pandemic. We had rescheduled games. People were not into the Tuesday football. I like your point though on two Monday night games. I think that thing went over fairly well.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. He's Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio's NFL Insider, Sirius XM NFL Radio. He's a great follow on Twitter, especially during this time of year with all the moves and possible moves and rumors out there. Get him on Twitter, at Kaplan NFL. Cap, always good talk. We'll do it again this weekend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, man. The dual Monday night games or the back-to-back Monday night games, I just think that's a lot of fun. And this idea that, well, if you put it on that early, you know, is it going to be a problem for some people? Like, man, you'll figure it out. All right. If you want to watch it, you'll figure out a way to watch it. There are so many ways that you can tune in and check these games out. And look, there's a lot of normally how it works on week one of the NFL season is you'll get the late night game, which will usually be a West Coast game, which it's seemingly every single year. It was Raiders Broncos. Like every single year featured on the second Monday night game, it felt like it was that crummy O.co outdoor urinal in Oakland, and it was the Raiders hosting some team. Every year, with the baseball field still in play because the A's were still playing games. Every single Monday night to start off the season. So you had your West Coast game, and then you had your early game, whatever time that was, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Well, if they can figure out a way to where you're not narrowing down the possibilities for that second game on Monday night, and if it means you're going to run a game at 5 p.m. Eastern time and then another at 8 p.m. Eastern time to do so, then that's what you do. And if it means 2 o'clock on the West Coast, then it's 2 o'clock on the West Coast. Hey, man, the people in Hawaii, it's 11 a.m. They're not bitching about it. They got to wake up at 7 a.m. to watch games during the NFL season on Sundays. So I think as much as people want to push back on this stuff, start opening your minds to it, because I just think we're going to get more and more NFL as this thing continues. All right, coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there's a story that's making the rounds in the NFL. I think it's complete and total garbage. I think it's crap. I think it's BS. And I think it's people trying to tease us and see how many people are going to run with the story. We'll have that for you next here on FSR. I did see Josh Gordon is back. Kind of. Josh Gordon is in the fan-controlled football league. I have no idea where you watch those games. I'm not familiar. I'm a big Johnny Manziel fan. I love Manziel coming out of Texas A&M. I know he plays for one of those teams. But Josh Gordon reportedly is back in the fan-controlled football league. And it just goes to show you that when people run with a story and run with a myth the legend of something, it takes on a life of its own. Because every time Josh Gordon makes a comeback in the NFL or beyond, the talk is, oof, hey, Josh, man, if he could just get things together off the field, my God, what an upgrade he is for fill-in-the-blank team at that position. And you, that's how he's viewed. Just this all-world wide receiver who just, you know, he ran into some pitfalls here or there. But, man, when that guy is right, there is nobody better. And a lot of people go, because, I mean, think about it. 87 catches, led the league in receiving, had almost 1,700 yards receiving, had 9 touchdowns, and all of that with, like, a medley of mediocre quarterbacks in Cleveland. And, man, in fact, that was 2013. It was almost a decade ago. And he's still looked at as the same guy that did all of that. It was 2013. I mean, at what point do we start to look back and go, okay, maybe that was the exception, not the rule. All right, you know, maybe we're looking. I get it. He was fantastic, got all the physical traits in the world, but hasn't come close to that. Yet every time he makes a comeback, the thought is, oh man, if he could just get right, that's an up. Look. Talented guy, no doubt about it, but come on, man. Like, at some point you have to take a step back and go, hey, if it happened once and that one time it did happen was almost 10 years ago, maybe there's a chance it's not ever going to happen again. You know, like maybe there's a chance that's how this works. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. Coming up next, though, there is a story being told, a tale being told in the NFL, and I think it's complete crap. We'll tell you what that is next year on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Clay will be back tomorrow, a Tuesday edition of Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. So he will have all sorts of stories from his time in Mexico. And then somebody's got to find out whether or not him and Jeff Schwartz, that was a double vacation date, or what the hell that was all about. Because they just randomly showed up taking a picture together going out to dinner. And I thought to myself, how'd that happen? Did they just end up in the same place? Did they, you know, so we will get the latest and he will fill you in on the how that all came together here as Clay is back.
We'll make sure to ask him that so you could get all up in his business. And also, just want to thank you really quick for filling in the past 3 days, Jonas, you know, this is why you're a multiple time Benny Award winner for fill-in hosts.
Yep.
Is it
three
true?
Times.
Is it true that Ben Maller gave you an award earlier on Monday?
Yeah, listen, I won third consecutive year. I won best fill-in on the Ben Maller show. And
voter
there's already
fraud.
Been... Yeah, well, listen, there's already been some, you know, the law offices of Bitch and Moan have already checked in courtesy of Brian
Finley. Finley's already complaining.
Yeah, he's already crying about it. I was like, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want from me. What am I supposed to do? I mean, you know, it's my category. I mean, people vote. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this isn't, you know, not every, never mind. I'm not even going to, there was an election comparison there. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just not doing it. I refuse to do it. But no, it's been
fun. There will be no golden statue of you dragged through hallways.
There will not. And by the way, I can assure you. And by the way, I do want to say that somebody wanted me to call out a member of the show, and I'm not going to do it because somebody on Twitter wanted me to criticize Roberto for playing Korn as the bumper music last hour here on the show. And I'm not going to do that, Roberto. I'm not going to criticize.
What's wrong with Korn?
I don't know. I don't know what. Now, see, me personally.
I love Elote, man.
Yeah, me personally, I'm more of a Vicente Fernandez guy. But again,
if
you like Korn, you know, you like Korn. But, you know, you and I grew up differently. So that's just that's the way this goes, man. That's why, you know, I had to teach you about Albondigo Soup or whatever.
And screw you, man. When it's my birthday, it's my birthday month, dude.
Damn right. That's how it works. All right. So, no, it's been a lot of fun hanging out, and everybody's been great to work with. So we transitioned from that to a complete load of garbage that I would like to call out in the NFL. Sometimes these stories make the round in sports, and they just don't make sense. And for whatever reason, people run with them. They don't make sense. They just fundamentally don't make sense. I can remember the UFC had this altercation between Conor McGregor and Khabib. Remember where he was throwing the dolly through the bus and all the other stuff that was happening? There were people that were making the rounds after all that took place that were saying, oh man, we knew it. Whole thing's rigged. Knew it. The whole thing's rigged. It's just a big spectacle. And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, that's what the UFC wanted. They wanted several fights on that card to get canceled because fighters got glass in their eye. You're right. You're right. That's what they wanted. They wanted fighters to get pieces of glass from the bus window that was blown in by the dolly that Conor McGregor threw. They wanted those fights canceled, and they wanted fighters to nearly lose their eyes because they got glass in them. Sure, whatever you say. Okay, that makes a lot of – like, just it doesn't make sense. The other one, I remember there was this story from Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News in which he reported that Adam Gase would walk around the facility in New York and he would talk about how rich he is. Now, he doesn't care because he's got all this money. And it's like, people actually believe that? Like you run with a story like that and think people are actually – that Adam Gase, a guy who doesn't like talking at all – Like he goes from, you know, the kid off The Boy Who Could Fly to Ric Flair all of a sudden. Like he like doesn't talk at all and then turns into Ric Flair talking about all the money he makes. What? It doesn't make sense. These stories don't make, for whatever reason, people run with them. Here's the latest one that doesn't make sense. Tom Pelissero reported, and this is not against Tom Pelissero, fantastic reported, does a great job for the NFL Network and NFL.com. There's a report that came out that teams are leaving trade offers on Nick Caserio's voicemail. That's what they're doing, that they're leaving these trade offers there. And I've been thinking about it, you know, all weekend, and I'm like, huh. Yeah, that's just a bunch of garbage. That's crap. Like, that's somebody throwing something out there. Not Tom Pelissero, but somebody that's trying to add a comedic effect to this whole thing. Because nobody leaves voicemails nowadays anyways. There's no voicemails left. This is how it works. You want to get a hold of somebody, they don't answer the phone, you send them a text. They don't respond to your call and you don't send them a text, you take it personally. Nobody's leaving a voicemail, let alone a trade offer via voicemail. It's a garbage story people ran with. This has been fun. Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys here on Outkick the Coverage. Clay is back tomorrow right here on FSR.